Welcome, Craig.
Craig's here. Hey. Hey, it's we got another After Dark. I kind of like these After Dark episodes.
This one's not too After Dark. I mean, it's like 8:45.
But it feels dark out. It's cold, it's wet, true, it's windy. Right.
We're getting into the late slate for the West Coast sports. It's getting a little late for us Central time zone people.
My bones are cold. It's cold out.
Yeah, it's cold snow today. Like snow, yeah. I don't know how much you guys got, but it was more up here, up north. I think we got maybe at most 2 inches. But
well, I work right by where you live, so I got
it. Oh yeah, that's right.
At work, yeah. Not too bad out where I live. But all right, so back to the weather report from the weather report. Ryan on the fives is gonna end his little segment. We're at episode 61.
Yeah, episode 61. Excited about this episode because we've got a tapas tasting menu of number 61s this week. But really quick, how about that game last night? I can't believe Baker Mayfield came in and baked.
Dude, and that game. I said it in the first quarter. I said, this is his Willie Beeman moment, dude. Any given Sunday, straight up. Like, he is Jamie Foxx.
Yeah. I could not believe that.
It's, you know, it's fun. That's like the most fun thing that's happened in the NFL since Monday night. So,
yeah.
Which was also an insane comeback. So the NFL's kind of, they're putting out like bad teams are putting out good product.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Hey man, ball is ball. I like watching bad football, good football. I just like watching football. So,
waiting all day for Thursday night.
And so I've been waiting all day for you to take me to Tapas Town right now.
Hell yeah.
Tell me about our cornucopia of 61s here.
Okay, so let's start off with a more recent player.
Okay.
Number 61 at center, Mr. Nick Hardwick.
I don't think I know that name.
No?
No.
Chargers, a few different, mostly the Chargers.
Sure.
But the only reason I really picked this guy is because when I was reading through some of his stuff, he went to Purdue. He was a Boilermaker, and his senior year of college, I think, was 04, maybe before that. But guess who his quarterback was?
Well, if it was Purdue in 2004, it was Kyle Orton.
Yes, it was. It was Mr. Kyle Orton. So this
love
guy,
Kyle Orton.
This guy got to play with the Orton.
Nice.
Yeah. He played a decent amount of seasons. He was one of those players who's real physical. Towards the end of his career, he decided to retire because of. He said a lot of his nerves were getting compressed. His hands were going numb, like during training camp. He could feel like losing feeling up to his like his elbows. He's had a bunch of stingers. On a daily basis, he was quoted as saying, "My hands were asleep, my elbows were burning, and I was losing a normalcy to life. So it became reckless to continue playing."
Okay, and I respect that, but I think it became reckless to continue playing after the first time that happens.
Yeah, I think if one of your appendages goes numb, but he's just like, screw it. They probably just gave him some pills.
Oh my God, that's horrifying.
But yeah, he played with the Chargers for a decent amount, and I just thought it was cool that he got to play with Kyle Orton.
That's a nice little sampler platter there. That's my appetite's whetted. So what else do you got? You got another one?
I got like two more guys, and actually these two guys are probably some of the smartest players to come out of the NFL. One is actually considered to be the smartest player to ever play in the NFL.
Well, okay, how about this? Since my 61 isn't a guy, it's not. No, it's a piece of legal jurisprudence. So why don't you get us in the audience here? Why don't you make us a little smarter so that we can understand some of this shit?
Sure. So this next guy, Mark Adikas, he is a former NFL player and orthopedic surgeon.
Damn.
Yes. All-American offensive lineman at Baylor, later attended George Mason, and he went to Harvard University Medical School.
Wow. Oh, you know, that's fine. It's just Harvard.
Right. Right. He's currently the NFL's injury analyst. He was born in 1961, so he's like, you know, getting up towards the end of his career. He's in his early 60s.
For sure. He's a boomer.
Yeah. And he's also the chief of sports medicine at Baylor College.
Oh, you know, just Baylor College. It's fine.
Right.
Whatever.
Right.
This guy's whatever, dude. Why'd you even pick this guy?
Right. he's not in the Hall of Fame, but he's in the Baylor Sports Hall of Fame.
Cool.
Inducted in 1998. One of those players who, like a couple guys we've talked about when they were coming up in their career, when that whole USFL thing was going on, like he was originally drafted by a USFL team and then ended up playing ultimately for like the Kansas City Chiefs for like 4 years.
Okay.
It didn't have a long playing career, because obviously I think he had his sights on other goals.
Are you sure? It doesn't seem like he has anything to fall back on. Right.
Like being the co-medical director and orthopedic surgeon at Memorial Hermann Hospital Sports Medicine Institute.
That's so weird, though, hearing like orthopedic medical / sports institute. So it's like,
right.
Hey, is he just giving 14-year-old kids Tommy John surgeries?
Right. He's been a team physician for the Houston Rockets, the United States ski team. Also, get this, the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo.
Ooh.
And also the University of St. Thomas, because he probably vacations there.
Good God, man.
Yeah, this guy did a lot. This guy did a lot after football. He's been on the Today Show. He's got a CBS show called The Doctors, or at least he did at one point.
Is that the one with Dr. Oz?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
He did a sports documentary called Athlete 360, in which he interviews professional athletes who've sustained major injuries that require orthopedic surgery, because obviously he knows a lot about it. Some of those athletes, Dikembe Mutombo, Mark Sclareth.
Oh, stink.
Professional golfer Stacey Lewis, who needed scoliosis surgery and basically made her have a golf career because of that surgery.
Damn. Did you know that even though I learned about it when I was like 11 years old, I still remember every single one of Dikembe Mutombo's like full name? Really? His name is Dikembe Mutombo Mapalando Mukamba Jean Jaguwa Mutombo. That's Dikembe Mutombo's full name.
Jesus.
Yeah. I don't know why. Dude, ask me what I ate for dinner last night. I don't know. But I can tell you Dikembe Mutombo's full name.
But yeah, that's Mark Adikas. Basically, you know, just the ESPN NFL injury analyst, you know.
Cool.
Head of orthopedic surgery at like, you know, two universities, you know.
That's crazy. Building super kids. Being like, I'm giving you an ACL out of steel. Get out there.
But yeah, let's hear about some legal precedents.
All right, I got a fun one for you today. All right, this is called the Sports Broadcasting Act of 1961.
Okay.
This is a legal act signed into law by the Kennedy administration. So JFK put his John Hancock on it. The original bill was written by a New York congressman named Emanuel Seller. It was, you know how bills work. Like, this was the general idea of the bill. Some other stuff got added on, whatever. In 1961, earlier that year, the U.S. sued the NFL. All right.
Okay.
The NFL. Okay, so the NFL and CBS had just signed in 1961 an exclusive 2-year $9 million deal for broadcasting rights, for exclusive.
To just show all the games.
Yeah.
Okay.
So all of a sudden, though, like the deal was not like, since it was large enough, it has to be submitted to some board for approval, and it wasn't. So it wasn't legally approved before it was signed. So a federal judge was like, yeah, this law is illegal, or this is illegal, and we're taking you to court. So I'm like, all right, I'm already confused, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So according to Article X of the NFL bylaws, or Article 10, if you're into the whole Roman thing, but I'm American, man. This is Article X. So there's rules about what games were allowed to be televised and where, based on proximity to the team's city. Okay, Team A is Chicago, Team B is Minnesota. Like, if the Bears were playing in Kansas City, but the Packers were playing in, or were playing at home against Minnesota, who can they show the Minnesota game in the Chicago market? That kind of weird stuff. And there's still proximity clauses, but like, really? It's not super important, but it's really needlessly complicated. It's like playing Risk.
Yeah.
So the U.S. sued the NFL because this is technically a monopoly, and the Supreme Court would agree with the government because a company cannot conspire to restrain trade or commerce across state lines.
Ooh.
Right? So in response to this Supreme Court ruling in U.S. versus NFL, the Seller Bill gets passed and signed into law later that year in response to this. In plain language, this bill allows the NFL to market the broadcasting of their games as a whole league package and then spread the revenue evenly across each of the teams, as they still do today, right?
Sure.
So instead of teams negotiating as individual units, broadcasting companies bought the rights to broadcast whatever package the league offered to them. So the law insists that while the teams are competitors on the field, the organizations are all parts of the same larger unit, and that unit has like a shared interest, right? They all got to be competitive,
yeah,
because that makes everybody more money.
Right.
So like, that's the thing. Like, this seems like common sense, but like, there's a time that this was illegal, you know, because it's considered a monopoly.
Yeah.
So this law still has some effects today. All right. And this will answer a question that I think, now you'll be able to flex on people whenever they ask you, well, what about this? This law blacks out football games on Friday and Saturday to protect the attendance at high school and collegiate games.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's why the NFL doesn't start any of those Saturday games until after the college season is over.
Correct. And so that's because of this act.
That's cool.
So there have been some extreme circumstances. There was a Miami game that was moved and played on a Friday in 2005 because of Hurricane Wilma. But other than that, yeah, that's why we don't do Friday or Saturday night games early in the year.
Yeah, and that's probably why we'll never have NFL games on every single night of the week.
Do you remember that COVID year when you'd have like Steelers and Ravens on a Wednesday at like 2 p.m.?
Oh, that was the infamous game, though. That was the one that like just kept getting pushed back.
Yeah.
And the NFL was like, well, we have to play this game.
Right.
We have to play this game before the next week starts. And they played it on a Wednesday. That was so cool.
All right. So this bill also was applied to the NHL and NBA. But the MLB has like these weird antitrust laws that are like grandfathered in from like, you know, 1885 or whatever. So it doesn't. Dude, I tried looking up what the difference was and it made no sense. I have two master's degrees and I'm looking at this like drooling while I smile. Like, what the fuck is happening? Weirdly though, I want to point out the NCAA was not covered by the same antitrust laws.
So why
in the eight, well, cause it's amateur athletics, right?
Oh,
So
it's not quotes professional.
Right, exactly. Because the players aren't getting paid. So in the 80s, Oklahoma and Georgia universities both sued the NCAA, trying to be able to secure independent television deals, and the court ruled in their favor. So instead of getting like specific team networks, what they all decided to do was go by their conference and get television deals for their conferences. And that's still the same thing we do see today, you know, SEC on CBS, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So that, Ryan, is the Sports Broadcasting Act of 1961. That's my number 61 of the week.
Now that is some info.
There we go, that's dude. That was a fun one. Yeah, like,
yeah.
I really had to like learn what the hell all of this meant, because legalese is so tough to understand.
Yeah, I can't believe you thought about that or even thought to look up something like that. That's crazy.
Hey, man.
I love it.
Here we go. This is what we do here, TH Fantasy. And
so let's end our Tapas Friday with someone who's considered to be one of the smartest men to ever play in the NFL. All
right,
Mr. Blaine Nye.
Okay.
All right. He was a guard, number 61. Let's see. Yeah, he was on the offensive line that helped the Cowboys to the three Super Bowls.
Okay.
Yeah, he played in 125 games in a nine-year career, all with the Cowboys, two Pro Bowls, retired in 1976.
Ooh.
Now let's get fresh with some info here.
Okay.
He was selected by the Cowboys in the fifth round of the 68 draft because they needed help on the offensive line.
Okay.
He then switched to guard and replaced John Wilbur.
John Wilbur.
Yep. During off seasons, this guy just like went to colleges and got like master's degrees and doctorate degrees. This was like his thing to do in the off season. He earned a master's degree in physics from the University of Washington.
Physics.
Oh, also a master's from Stanford in 74. So while he was playing,
that's incredible.
The one thing, so after he retired in 76, he just decided, you know, I know a lot about physics and stuff. I want to know more about finance. So he just went out and got a doctorate in finance from Stanford.
Oh, my God.
I think you'll like this. His dissertation for his doctorate was the demand and pricing for healthcare and guaranteed insurability.
That sounds interesting as heck.
Yeah, right? I might actually look that up after we do this, because that may be an interesting read.
Dude, talk to me. I'll slip you my JSTOR password on the sly.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. You think I ain't got a JSTOR account, baby? I got a JSTOR account.
So after he got his, doctorate in finance, he immediately started a consulting group. He founded the Stanford Consulting Group. He performs numeric economic analyses and research and provides expert testimony in multiple areas, including securities litigation, intellectual property, business litigation, damages, and insurance economics.
So he does research, you said. Do you think this dude crushes in DFS?
I mean, maybe. I mean, he's smart.
Yeah.
He even like, he was all about in football about not being like the number one dog. He started like a club when he was playing for Dallas called the Zero Club, which says prided itself on performing behind the scenes. Its first rule was thou shalt not seek publicity.
Weird.
Its members were himself, Larry Cole, and Pat Toomey.
That's some weird, like, alpha male shit. Where it's like,
isn't it? Yeah.
Where it's like, yeah, you want to be the leader of the pack, but I'm just going to run things from behind quietly.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he's got some, they listed some weird quote too that he said at one time. I don't see why they call it a famous quote. It's, offensive linemen are like salt. Nobody ever remembers the brand they buy. I don't see how that's a famous quote, but I guess he was quoted as saying that. But
maybe, you know what? We're not smart enough, dude.
You know what? We're not smart enough. We're not dumb enough. But gosh darn it, people like me.
That's the most important part, and that's, it doesn't matter what brand you buy.
But yeah, I think it's, he had those couple doctorates, the masters from those. He did all that while he was playing. I couldn't believe when I was reading about that. And you'd have to think some of it was being done while he was playing, you know?
Yeah. And when you think about how much people back then drank, oof.
Yeah, and it doesn't say anything about that.
No, I'm sure. He was also an alcoholic.
No, he might not be, because it says he was born in Utah. So for all we know, he could be Mormon and not drink at all. But, okay, you know.
Okay.
But yeah, that's Mr. Blaine Nye.
I got to tell you, Ryan, I'm full from this tapas, this run of 61.
The sweet tasting.
Oh yeah, dude, but it's filling. So let's go get a toothpick from the front and stretch our legs a little bit and take a break for a sec, and we'll catch people on the other side.
All right, I might need to get a mint too.
Yeah, that's fine.
Are you a struggling fantasy content creator looking to build a strong reputation in a field already so oversaturated with dudes exactly like you? Don't you wish there was a way that you could amplify your good takes while never being held accountable for the bad ones? Here at the Fantasy Insurers, with our new Takeaway Insurance program, we've got a surefire way for you to get credit when you're right and get your takes scrubbed from the internet when you're wrong. With our new Takeaway program, we have 24-hour on-call agents waiting to monitor your Twitter or podcast for bad predictions, bets, DFS lineups, or dynasty rosters. This is the perfect system for those trying to break through by promoting the fact that they're right 100% of the time. You'll have a paid writer's gig at Fantasy Pros in no time at all. We've been insuring XM radio hosts, writers, prominent podcasters, and we're now ready to work for you. Take it from this testimonial.
Before Takeaway, everyone knew I was out on Damian Pierce in Dynasty. Now, there's no evidence of it. Thanks to Takeaway, I always had Garrett Wilson as my number one rookie wide receiver. Thanks, Takeaway.
For the price of a subscription for 4-4, we can cover all your old takes. According to our systems, you've always known Justin Fields was the best quarterback of the 2021 class. Our operators are all laid-off PFF writers who will keep track of everything you've tweeted and update your algorithm every few minutes to ensure you have the freshest takes on Twitter. Is it ethical? Probably not, but it's either that or go to work on Monday, and we both know that shit isn't an option, especially after what you said last week about Ron DeSantis. With Take Alert by the Fantasy Insurers, they must have read it wrong, because there's no proof of you saying it. Remember, all fantasy content creators should have Takeaway.
And we're back.
Oh, we are back. It's getting to be a little bit more after dark. Let's switch it up. We stretched out. We're feeling good. We're in the car on the way home. What do you think about we look at a Superflex lineup, Ryan?
You want to do Superflex? Sure.
I want to do Superflex. We are actually on a 2-week not cashing streak.
Yes, was not good last week. The one we made was, I think, the shittiest one we've made so far.
It was fucking terrible. So that's why you should take our advice and also build this lineup with us.
So let's get redemption. Yeah. Because, you know, on the whole, Preparation H feels good on the whole. I think we've won more. I think we've won more weeks than we've lost weeks. So
we're in the black for sure on this, because we've cashed like significantly.
$30, $15, $12. Right. Yeah.
Right. So let's get back to it. Let's chase the wind this week. All right, Ryan, tell them what the lineup is.
So this lineup, we paired Huntley with Andrews. We got Miles Sanders. We got DeAndre Swift. We got Stephen Diggs. We got Jameson Williams.
Fuck yeah.
Deep throw. Oh, my God. If he goes off, it's going to be so awesome. We got CeeDee Lamb and Josh Allen.
That's one of the most ridiculous lineups I think we've ever made, even if, like, it doesn't cash. It's still one of the most ridiculous lineups we've ever made, and I'm totally proud of it.
I'm entering it.
Yeah, we're done. We're in, baby.
We should share that one with Waleed.
I mean, I will. I would love to break his heart and be like, wow, Tony and Ryan, you guys are fucking geniuses. So here's what I would like to do next, Ryan. I want us to stretch it out. I mean, you know, really loosen up. And why don't you just tell me who this week is Ryan's
mid-tier, kind of shitty tight end of the week.
All right, so as usual, I got a few for this segment. But one that hasn't been on our radar of the last several shows, Mr. Isaiah Likely.
Okay.
I like his involvement last week, and I think he's going to snake one of those touchdowns this week. I like him for a touchdown. Andrews is going to get a touchdown. He may even get two. But for some reason, well, we know the reason. There's no wide receivers in Baltimore. The tight ends get a lot of the work in that offense.
Yes.
They're going up against Pittsburgh, who, as of late, hasn't been that great of a defense. I know they're playing in Pittsburgh, but it's still the Steelers. I know they pulled out that win last week. But I like Isaiah Likely.
I like another. You don't have to sell me on Isaiah Likely.
A couple other guys of note who we've been talking about, you know, religiously on this channel. Daniel Bellinger.
There we go.
Five catches last week and his first game back from having his eye ripped out of his head. All right. Five catches. He's clearly getting involved in that offense. I like him for a touchdown this week, even though they're playing Philly. It could be garbage time shit too. So, but then the last guy I wanted to point out who like everyone is like talking about on like DFS channels. Even I heard Jeff Radcliffe talk about him and we've been talking about him for a while. Mr. Chig Okonkwo.
Dude, people finally coming around to fucking Chigozie Okonkwo. Motherfuckers still can't even pronounce his name and they're out here being like, add Chig Okonkwo.
I was telling you that 5 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So he's going to get involved too. I like him for a touchdown. Those are tight ends of the week.
You want to hear a fun Chig Okonkwo stat?
Did it.
He has 30 or more receiving yards in five straight games.
And hell yeah.
And in three of those games, he only had one target.
Hell yeah.
Chig Okonkwo.
They're looking at him.
Dude, yeah. He's a baller. His college tape, him and Likely did that thing a lot where, like, you know, they're lining up as H-backs. They're doing motion out of the backfield. Like, they're athletes, man. And I want to talk about this for the rest of the year. Because you and I were on this in the summer. We got the receipts to prove it. We said this was a strong tight end class. And look at how many of these tight ends are making plays.
Yeah, it's been amazing.
You got Jelani Woods is scoring. You got Chig Okonkwo. You've got Daniel Bellinger. You got Isaiah Likely.
Yeah.
I mean,
Kate Otten.
Otten is playing awesome.
Yeah.
Like this rookie class has juice, man. There's not a ton of stars, but there's going to be a lot of guys from this class that are around for a few years.
Right. Super deep Quitoriano, who we've talked about.
Calcaterra scored.
Calcaterra scored last week. That's right. Holy crap. Yeah. I'm talking about all these guys.
Yep. So the heralded 2022 tight end class. So that's what we have for this week, but there is one last thing I need to clear up before we go. All right. Is this a Kadarius Toney week?
Ooh.
So he's still hurt, so no. But
right.
Soon it will be a Kadarius Toney week. So you know how there's a difference between a tornado watch and a tornado warning?
Yeah.
We're at a Kadarius Toney watch right now. So yeah. Be on the lookout. So that's
it's imminent, but not confirmed.
Right. I mean, there's rumors, but we haven't heard anything for sure.
So Tony, is your Jamal Agnew player this week? Is it Jameson Williams?
It sure is.
Hell yeah.
Dude. That's my guy. Like
TH Fantasy is calling it right here.
We watched so much Jameson Williams, and everything that I saw was like, this dude is otherworldly explosive.
Hell yeah.
Give me the juice. I want the juice.
Right.
Juice Williams. All right. Juice. We're getting juiced. So that's it for us here, episode 61. Next week, we'll be back to talk about how much money we made and how it's changed us as people. So After Dark is over and out. Ryan, any last thoughts before we go?
No, just thank you to anyone who's listening and loves a little bit of history about some football guys. You know, I learn a lot every week as we go along.
Yeah, learn a lot about some guys, some things. And that's it. So we'll see you next week. For me, I'm me.
I'm Ryan, and this is TH Fantasy, and we are out.
Peace. Got a JSTOR account, baby? I got a JSTOR account.